Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Praise you, Lord. God is so good. Amen. We're so excited today because today's Sunday. It means it's a church day. We love church, right? You know, my pastor, you know, I have a pastor too, Pastor Tim Gilligan, he says this, he says, church days affect all your days. And that's true. Church days do affect all your days because what you get in church, it spreads out onto all the rest of your days. Amen? And so we're going to close up our series on Raised to Life that we started on Easter Sunday. We're going to close that up today. And we're going to talk really, we've talked about deaths, things that are dead or dying in our lives. We've talked about that. And, you know, we've talked about, you know, when we're in a storm and it seems like our finances are dying, don't throw over what your tackle, the Bible says. Don't throw over what's important. Don't stop doing the principles of God when you're in a storm because it's just going to make the storm worse. So we don't want to throw over what God has and instructed us through His Word to do. And today we want to talk about really one of the most dangerous deaths that you can have in your life, and that's spiritual death. Spiritual death. The good news is, if you feel like you're dead or dying spiritually, that we've been talking about, that Jesus came to raise us to life. Amen? And so wherever we're at, whatever is happening in your life, Jesus is here to come to help it and to fix it. Amen? And so we've got to always remember that no matter what's going on, don't run from God, run to God. Because He's where your help is. He's where your answer is. He's where your healing is. He's where your joy is. He's where your fulfillment is. He is where what you're really looking for is. And so when we're talking about spiritual death, and you say, well, what is that? Spiritual death is that time when the things of God are no longer living, they're not no longer living in your life. They're not important to you anymore. You have walked away from, or just because of hurt and things that have happened, the things of God, just you're pushing those away and pushing them back, and you're growing not spiritually. And so when things aren't growing, they're dying. And so we can be in a place where spiritually we're not healthy. And not being spiritually healthy is going to affect every area of your life. And really, when we begin to die spiritually, it's a slow and painful death. And I can speak from experience, because I have been dead spiritually at a time in my life where just the things of God were so far removed from my life. They just were not there. And you say, well, how does that happen? You know, you say, well, oh, that only happens to people that don't go to church. No, the churches are filled with spiritually dead people. Churches are filled with spiritually dead people. When you just come because you have to, or you come because you don't want to hear about it from anybody, or you come to the Lord because, you know, you've done it for so long, but you're not getting life. Jesus came to bring us life. And our relationship with Him should be life-giving. And if it's not life-giving, then you're not doing it right. Because Jesus is life-giving. Amen? Amen. He is life-giving. And so we've got to make sure that if we're on the vine, but we're barely holding on, we're barely hanging in there, we've got to remember that Jesus came to raise us to life. Amen. And He wants to raise your spiritual life. He wants to raise you up out of that deathbed of spirituality where you can feel alive again in the things of God. And we don't want to be in the place. And, you know, let's just be honest. Everybody, no matter how spiritual somebody looks, no matter what they're putting on, everybody goes through hard times physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We all do. There are times in our life where we go to the Word and it's just like, you know, it's just piercing our heart so deeply. We're like getting so much life from it. We're so excited about it. We can't wait to tell people, oh, wait to hear what I read in the Word today. And there's other times, Somebody say other times.
Other
times. There's other times. And everybody has them. Don't let anybody lie to you and say they don't have them. Everybody has them. There's other times where you just feel like you're just trudging through mud. You know, you're just like, man, what's going on? What's happening? Well, that's part of life, but we got to push through that. And we got to remember, we can't let those feelings take us anywhere. Because feelings can take you places you don't belong. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Feelings can take you places you don't belong. It can cause you to have thoughts that aren't even correct. And when we think about this, I want to encourage you that even, you know, David, how many think David in the Bible? Man, David is awesome, right?
Yeah.
David's awesome. I mean, King David, the apple of God's eye.
Yeah.
But David had many, many, many days where he was spiritually unhealthy. He was spiritually just weak on the inside. And you say, how can you say that? Because he said it. David said it. He said it in some of the Psalms he wrote. He says, why is my soul downcast? He cried out to the Lord about feeling like everybody was against him. Ever feel like everybody's against you? Nothing's working out for you. David had those same things. And so we can see that somebody who is so close to God can still have those days and those times. But here's the key. We can't let them turn into years and seasons. Because when they turn into years and seasons, then what's on the inside of us begins to die, because instead of pushing towards God, we pull away from God. And so when we feel like we're getting weak spiritually, we talked about that a couple weeks ago on Wednesday night, you know, when you take communion, the next part of that scripture is that we need to judge ourselves. We need to recognize ourselves. We need to ask ourselves, where am I at with God really? Where am I really at? Am I putting on a show for people? Where am I really at? Because where you're really at is what matters. What you're showing people doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because how many know that sometimes when people are talking to you, they're not telling you the truth? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You know, I always say, just because somebody doesn't call you out on your lies doesn't mean they believe them. Amen. Just because I don't call you out doesn't mean I don't know, and I don't really know what's going on in your life. We're just being kind and merciful to you and letting you judge yourself. Amen. And so you may think everybody's, you know, I used to be such a big liar. I'll tell you what, when I was a kid, I could tell you anything you believe. I was just a good liar. I mean, I'd look at my dad right in the eye and just lie to him. And you know, like to now that I have the life of God in me, I can't even imagine doing that to my dad. Because I think his eyes would burn through my soul. If you've ever met my dad, you'd know. But you know, the thing is that when, just because you think people believe your lies doesn't mean they do. And if you're not careful, pretty soon you'll believe your lies. And when that happens, you start buying into the, and you know who the father of lies is? It's the devil. You start buying into the devil's lies, you're going down his track and not God's track. Amen? That's just free right there. I don't even know why we went there. But our text scripture for this series has been Revelation chapter 1, verse number 18. This is Jesus talking. And he says, I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And then Jesus says, amen.
Amen.
You know, Jesus will never die again. He doesn't have to. He already did die for us. And now he is alive forevermore. And that's such a powerful word to grab a hold of, because if you ever start thinking that God is not what you need and who you need to remember that he's the one who is alive forevermore. He has the power for you forevermore. His power does not wane. It does not get weak. It doesn't expire. He is alive forevermore. He will never not be exactly what you need, because he's alive forevermore. And he says, and I have the keys of Hades and of death. He said, I have the keys of Hades and of death. He has the key to unlock anything that tries to kill you. He has the keys to unlock anything that is dying or dead. He can unlock it and bring it back to life. That's what Jesus can do. And only Jesus can do that. Those emotions that are dead, he can bring them back to life. Marriages that are dead, he can bring them back to life. Finances that are dead, he can bring them back to life. Relationships that are dead, he can bring it back to life. Why? Because he has the keys.
That's right.
Nobody else has them. He has them. And he is alive forevermore. He will always have them. He's never going to check out and say, hey, here's the keys. Can you lock up for me? That will never happen. That will never happen. Jesus has the keys forevermore. Amen. And over in Revelation chapter 3, we're going to look at if you guys remember, and I did a series on the end times. How many know these are the end times? And I always say, if you don't believe these are the end times, they are your end times. Amen. This is your life. You only get one. You get one life, and so these are your end times. But I do believe that these are the end times. And so there were seven letters written out to the modern church. We are that church. And one of the letters were written to the church of Sardis. And in Revelation chapter 3, 1 through 3, it says this. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. He says, I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. This is a letter to the church. And so this letter is saying, listen, I know you come to church. I know you give in the offering. I know maybe you help out in the nursery. I know your deeds. And you're pretending to be alive, but the truth is you are dead. You are dead on the inside. And he says, wake up. He says, strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know what time I will come to you. And so this is written to the church. And if you read the seven letters to the churches, we can see parts of every church in every letter. You know, there's the letter to the church of Pyrethyra, and it says that they had let worldliness in. And there's too much worldliness in their church, too much sin in the church, too much everything's okay. How many can see that in the church? Yes. Yeah, that's in the church. And, you know, and then so this letter is written to the church is saying, listen, don't put on the show that you're alive, be alive. Don't put on the show that you have a relationship with God, have a relationship with God. And he says, if you're doing that, you need to strengthen what remains. You need to strengthen what's there. We need to stand up and say, all right, that's it. This is the last day that I will be spiritually weak. This is the last day that I will allow this type of spirituality in my life. This is the last day. Because he says, you need to repent and you need to wake up. We need to repent and we need to wake up. Because then 1 Corinthians says, when we don't repent and we don't wake up, he says, that's why many of you are weak and sick and you sleep. Another translation says, that's why you are in a weakened state and you die young. You die young. And you say, are you talking about physical death? I think it could apply, yeah. But I think it's also talking just about spiritual death, emotional death, the death of your dreams, the death of the call of God in your life, the death of what makes your heart beat, the death of living the way God came for you to live, where you switch over and you're just existing, or you're existing through the lives of other people. You know why social media is so popular? Because people love to see what's going on in other people's lives. We need to quit being so concerned about other people's lives and take a real look at our own. What's going on with me? And he says, we need to strengthen what remains. Don't let yourself get so weak and so disconnected from God that you feel like you're dying spiritually. Because that's not a good place to be. It's not a good place to be. I can tell you from experience that a time in my life where I had gotten away from God and just God was nowhere to be found. I knew where he was. I was a prodigal. The difference between a lost person and a prodigal person is a prodigal knows the way home. People, you know, one thing I love about the story about the prodigal son is the father never went out to get him. He never went to get him. Some people are like, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do this? It's because you knew the way home. And you can't drag somebody home. They got to come home on their own.
That's right.
The father could have snapped his fingers and that prodigal would have been home, but it wouldn't have done any good because he would have been gone again. The prodigal son knew his way home. That's why the father didn't go out to get him. That's why the prodigal had to come home. A lost person doesn't know how to get home. And so the shepherd goes out to get him. That's the difference. And I was that prodigal. And I remember feeling so empty and so just dead, where I didn't feel anything anymore. No matter what crazy thing I did, it just was a moment and it was gone. A moment and then dead again. A moment, dead again. A moment, dead again. But you know, I remember just being in bed one night and just laying there thinking, what the heck has happened to me? I don't feel anything anymore. I don't feel anything. I just feel dead and alone. And I remember just crying. And maybe there's somebody here today and you're like, man, that's how I felt last night. Well, that's why you're in church today. Because I'll tell you the answer. The answer is not in more highs. Because with every high is a very low low. The answer is not in another drink. Because the thing about drinks, they wear off. The answer is not in a one-night stand. Because the thing about them is they're one night. But then that shame and that pain lasts, keeps going. The answer is not in somebody, a man coming and taking care of you. A man cannot take care of you spiritually. The answer is not in a beautiful girl on your arm. Because that beautiful girl, she may be beautiful, but she's got nothing spiritual to offer unless she's from God. The answer is not in those things. That's why I remember laying in my bed that night. And I had tried all those things, not all of them, but a lot of them. Clarify that just a little bit. Just a lot of them. And just laying there feeling like, man, you know, this is just, what happened to me? What happened to my life? What happened to my life? And just on the inside, something remained. Someone remained. And out of my belly, out of where my spirit man is, I began to pray in spirit. I began to pray in tongues. And it just came. It was something that remained. Because I was filled with the Spirit. And there was a time where being filled with the Spirit was so exciting to me. And I would pray in the Spirit all the time. It was just awesome. But I had gotten away. But it remained. The Bible says, strengthen what remains. And as I began to pray, I began to sense, okay, God's still here. God's still here because this is in me. And I began to realize, and I thought to myself, I must still be saved if I can pray in the Spirit. And so I began to strengthen what remained. I repented for all those things. It didn't happen overnight. I didn't wake up and just all of a sudden have a halo over my head and start going to church. That did not happen. But I began to strengthen. I began to turn back. I began to do what God had said to do. And that life began to come back. Yeah. You may feel dead today, but thank God Jesus came to raise you to life. Yeah. Amen. Thank God that you say, well, man, I've been dead too long. Listen, Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days. When he got there, Jesus said, where's Lazarus at? They said, he's in the tomb. He's been dead for 4 days. And they said, he's going to stink. How many know something that's dead for 4 days stinks?
Yes, it does.
It stinks. You think people stink after not showering? Wait till somebody's dead. And it just begins to, you begin to rot. But you know what? Lazarus was not too dead for Jesus. Amen. And it wasn't some big show. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And all of a sudden, Lazarus walked out. And the Bible says that his hands and his feet were wrapped in grave clothes. And he began to walk out. But, you know, he's all wrapped up like, you know, they would wrap him up like a mummy. He's walking out like this and he stinks. But he was alive.
Come on.
And as they began to unwrap those grave clothes, he got more movement. He got to be more like himself. And then just a few days later, the Bible says that there's Jesus that everybody kept coming to see. They were coming to see Lazarus because they knew that he was dead and now he's alive.
Yeah.
And you know what? When the life of God is in you, and you, it's a process. You're not going to get zapped. It's a process. Just like with Lazarus. He got up. He started walking out. And just like you, Jesus is going to raise you to life. He's going to strengthen what remains in you spiritually, and he's going to begin to unwrap your hands and unwrap your feet and loose you of those grave clothes, and pretty soon people are going to come in and saying, you're different. You're different, just like they did with Lazarus. People are going to come see, you were dead, but now you're alive. And that's exactly what happened to me. I just got more and more and more different. It happened just day after day. I just got more and more alive. And suddenly I would look at things and think, man, what am I doing here? I don't even belong here. And my life began to change. And it has never, ever gone back. Jesus can bring anybody back.
Amen.
Amen? Yes. He can bring anybody back. But you know what? You say, well, what happened? Because see, a lot of times we just want to fix something, but we don't want to know what happened. It's not a good idea to just fix something without finding out what happened.
Exactly.
What happened? You know, when it comes to addictions, and it comes to failed marriages, and it comes to broken relationships, we're like, oh, let me just fix this. No, you can't just fix it. You got to figure out what happened. Because if you don't figure out what happened and fix it from there, it's just going to happen again.
Yeah.
It's just going to happen again. You know, there's a story in the Bible I was hearing about the other day when Jesus healed the man, and then he goes, don't go back to sin. Don't go back to your old way of life, because if you do, it's going to come back on you more.
Yeah.
And you know, every time I heard that, I always thought about, oh man, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin. That's really not what Jesus is saying. He's, listen, if you go back to your old lifestyle, you're going to have those same results. You're going to get exactly what brought you here to this day. And so we're going to say, well, what brought me here? What happened? Jesus wasn't just telling the guy, hey, don't you sin. He was saying, listen, if you go back to the way you were living, what you just got healed from is going to come back. And that's the truth. Because when we get set free from things, and Jesus brings us alive, if we're still hanging around with dead things and dead people, we're still going to stink like dead things and dead people, and pretty soon we're going to get all wrapped up again.
Amen.
That's why church is so important.
Come on.
Church is life-giving. Worship time with everyone is life-giving.
Amen.
Having the word of God preached is life-giving. Putting your selfishness aside and saying, Lord, this is your time. I'm going to come for you. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to do it because I'm coming for you. That's life-giving. You think there's times I don't want to come to church? I'll be honest with you, I don't want to come to church today. I was taking a shower this morning, and I was like, man, I got to get it together. I'm just being real with you. Because I was like, I could call Angel. He's always wanting to preach. I could call Angel. He'll preach. He's always ready. He's always got a good message. We call Pastor Steve, Pastor Devon, Pastor Scott. All these guys can preach. There's so many preachers around here. And that's what I was telling myself this morning. I was like, they can do it. I'm tired, Lord. I'm just tired. I've had a long week. Just had a couple things happen. Got, you know, just life happens. And then the Lord said to me, he said, I didn't give them a message for today. I gave you a message for today. They don't have the message that people need to hear today. You have the message that people need to hear today. So get it together and get to church. Say, does God talk like that? Yeah, when you need it, he does. I needed it. And I was like, all right, I'm going, I'm going. I'm going. You got to do it. You got to push through things. Because, you know, being selfish and being lazy and all that, it leads to just self, self, self. Just self, self, self. And just when it's all about you, it's never going to be right. It's never going to be right. But there are times when those feelings come and we got to recognize, all right, what's causing those? Here's some things that cause just that spiritual death. One of them is just unrelenting. Say unrelenting. Man, that's a tough word, and it's just unrelenting trials and temptations. Man, there are times when you feel like it's just the enemy, it's just unrelenting. Anybody feel like that? Let me tell you something. I look back on my life, and I think of the times when it has been unrelenting, where you just feel like, dear Lord, Jesus, come. Come for all of us, right? But you know, it is always, always without exception, you look past that just a little bit. You just look past, you get through it. You keep pushing through. You do what God tells you to do. And you look past it just a little bit, and you'll see something amazing that God has done. You know, not only can God see the plan of God for your life, but the enemy sees the plan of God for your life as well. The enemy can see something's coming. Something's coming. And he's going to do everything he can to keep it from happening.
That's right. Come
on. That unrelenting, those unrelenting tests and temptations in Psalms 143. This is David. This is King David talking. He says, the enemy pursues me. He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in darkness like those long dead. Anybody feel like that? So my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. Even David felt like that. You can't stay there, though. Another thing that can cause the just spiritual death in us, where we just feel like we're dying spiritually, is personal tragedies. Everybody goes through tragedy. You know, and the older you get, the more of those you're going to face. The Bible says in Psalm 61:2, it says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to a rock that is higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed, you say, oh man, this isn't working right. I feel overwhelmed. No, all of us are going to feel overwhelmed at one time. But just like David said, he said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to a rock that is higher than I. Jesus is who you need in that tragedy. Jesus is who we need. But if we're not careful, we'll just close down. We'll just close down. We'll close up shop. I don't want to feel anymore because feelings hurt. I don't want to talk anymore because it brings up feelings. I don't want to listen anymore because I'm tired of hearing the truth. So we just close up. If we close up, we're not going to the rock that's higher than I. Amen? We don't want to die spiritually. We don't want that. Another thing that makes us feel that way is attacks from others. How many met some mean people? Don't look around. There's just some mean people in the world, isn't there?
Yeah.
You know, in our class in our Thrive Track, we do discovery class where you find out your gifts and what the calling God, you know, the gifts in your life. I think some people took that and said, "Be mean. Just be mean," because they're just so good at it. It's like their life's agenda is just be mean to you, just attack, right? Have you guys met that person or just me? Those people are out there. Always remember that hurting people hurt people. You got to look past them and see there's hurt in your life, there's pain in your life, and you're just trying to spread it. I'm not going to take it personal. Amen? But the Bible says in Psalms 109:3, this is David talking again. How many can see that David had some problems too? It says, with words of hatred, they surround me. They attack me without cause. You know, you can sit and say, I didn't do anything. You probably didn't. People are still going to attack you. People are still going to be mean to you. But you can't let what people do just determine what you're going to do.
Come on.
Amen?
Amen?
You know, life happens and life hurts and life is painful, but life is also great and life is full of joy if we respond to it in the right way. Amen? Another thing that can really hinder us and cause some spiritual problems in our life is working without rest. I'll tell you what, I was gone all week. I went to pastor school all week long and just in classes all day long and just getting, you know, just fresh word. And one of the sessions was on the Sabbath. And I tell you, I just hung my head down and thought, dear Lord, forgive me. You know, this guy, actually it was Robert Morris, who we all know here. He taught the Blessed Life. He wrote the Blessed Life book, and we've watched his videos. He has a church of like 30,000 people out in Texas. And he's preaching on the Sabbath. And the more he's preaching on it, I'm just like, man, it's just so good. It's so good. And I was telling Pastor Scott when I got home, we were both hanging our heads like, oh, help us, Lord. But you know, Psalm 63:1-2 says, oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. You know, one thing about the Bible, whenever it talks about somebody being spiritually dry, spiritually dead, spiritually weak, or physically weak, it always uses the analogy of being dry, that you're thirsty. You're like a sponge. How many know when a sponge isn't wet? It's hard and it breaks easy. It breaks easy. When we are dry, we are hard. Our heart is headed to hard-heartedness, which leads to bitterness, which leads to unforgiveness, which leads to all kind of crazy. When we're hard, we break easy. You ever take a sponge that's hard and you just snap it right in two? But you take a sponge that's soft and pliable, you can't just break that thing right in two. It bends and flows with whatever is going on. The same thing is true for us. When we are filled and we drink up of the river of life that Jesus has for us, it fills us so that we're no longer dry and easily broken. Listen, if you're easily offended, you're dry. Amen. If you're easily hurt, you're dry. If God is far from you, you're dry. If nothing's working, you gotta drink up. You gotta drink up. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. What do we do? What do we do when we do feel that spiritual dying, that death coming? What do you do? You gotta recognize what caused it first. And one of the biggest causes is guilt and shame. You know, psychologists will even tell you that the biggest stressor, the thing that causes the most stress in the lives of people, is guilt and shame. Guilt and shame. Secrets. Listen, if there's another you that we don't know, you're stressed out. You know why? Because you're living two lives. You're having to make sure, which me do you know? Which me do you know? Which me can I be in front of you? We're not designed to live that way. We're designed to live free and be who we are, who God made you to be. And having guilt and shame, which is just things that we're hiding. We're hiding from God. We're hiding from the people who care about us. We're hiding from people who love us. We're hiding it. And that causes guilt and causes shame. And guilt and shame, you have one of two responses. You'll either run away from God or you'll run to God. And unfortunately, most people run away. And then what happens? You die spiritually. You dry up. You dry up. The Bible says, my guilt, this is David's talking again. He says, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. You're not supposed to carry your guilt. You're not supposed to carry shame. That's what Jesus came to do. The Bible says he carried your cross. He carried your guilt. He carried your shame. We need to repent. You say, well, do I have to tell everybody? No, just tell Jesus. Amen. Amen. Tell the Lord. Tell the Lord. But to repent from something means to give it to God and turn away from it. Turn away from it. You know, that secret stuff on the computer, that's causing guilt and shame in your life. And guilt, and if you're married, it's going to cause separation between you and your spouse, because guilt and shame separates. Guilt and shame will separate you from God, and guilt and shame will separate from you from the people that you care about most. And what most people do is, because of the guilt and shame, they just keep feeding whatever caused the guilt and shame. Oh, I feel so guilty. I feel so shameful that I'm, you know, doing porn on the computer. Separation begins to build. What do? You just keep doing more of it, more of it, more of it, more of it, more of it. And the guilt and the shame gets worse and worse and worse. Because we're going into the problem and not the answer. Jesus is the answer. Take me to the rock that's higher than I. Amen. Take me to the rock that's higher than I. So, well, I can't tell Jesus that. He already knows. He already knows. Here's a real kicker for you. He's there when you're doing it. Woo. I've said this many times. When I was a kid, when I was a teenager, every time before I would leave the house, every time, my dad would look me down, he'd sit me down, he'd look me in the eye, and he'd say, now, Peggy, wherever you go, whatever you do, Jesus is with you. Jesus is with you. And most of the time I'd be like, oh, Jesus, we can't go there, you know? But then as I got more and more away from God, I took Jesus all kind of places. I would even be to the point, I'd be like, Jesus, cover your eyes. Jesus, you should not be here. You say, well, I'm going to ask Jesus to wait outside. He does not wait outside. No. He is with you. Come on. Amen? He is right there. He's watching every key you hit on that computer. He's watching everything you click on. Jesus is there. So don't say, oh, I can't tell Jesus. He already knows. He's there. You can't hide anything from him. And so we got to release that guilt and shame. How do you release guilt and shame? You give it to the Lord. You go to God. And so you say, well, what am I supposed to do? Turn over to Revelation chapter 22, verse number 17. When you're dry and you're thirsty and you're cracking, you got just pieces, you feel like pieces of you, like that dry old sponge where you pick it up in your sink and what happens? Pieces of it are still down in the sink. Anybody ever feel like that? Where just pieces of you are falling off. Your joy is falling off. Your laugh is falling off. Your dreams are falling off. Everything's for your inside health is falling off. What do we need to do? We need to drink up. We need to drink again. Revelation 22:17 says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Listen to me. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever is thirsty. Does it say who's ever cleaned up, who's ever doing right, who's ever, you know, looks like the perfect? No, it says whoever. Whoever is thirsty. Whoever is thirsty, come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. We got to drink in the water of life. We got to drink in the Spirit of God. We got to drink in through the presence of God, through the Word of God, through the fellowship with believers. We got to drink in. We got to drink. Why? Because we're thirsty. We live in a world that is just, it makes you parched. It makes you parched. Here's what I discovered just through life and dealing with people. When you're dehydrated, you're crazy. That's the truth. You know, a family member of ours, they get dehydrated occasionally because they just don't drink anything. They don't drink water. They don't drink things. And then you notice it because they start getting loopy. You guys know what loopy is? They just don't know what's going on. Like somebody who's normal, all of a sudden they're loopy. They're like, what? What? They don't act right. They don't think right. They don't do right. They say crazy stuff. And that's exactly how we are when we're not drinking into the Spirit of God. We get loopy. We get crazy. We start doing stuff. We're like, man, what happened to me? You need to drink. You need to drink from the Spirit of God because you're thirsty. So why do I keep falling into this mess? Because you're thirsty. Why do I keep, you know, I feel like I'm hitting my head against the wall. I get free and I get back in. I get free and I get back in. Because you quit drinking. You quit drinking. We got to drink up. We got to drink. We got to remind our friends, hey, you drinking? You drinking? You drink the Word today? You drink the Spirit of God today? You drink that living water today? We got to drink up. What do? You got to respond. You know, especially, you know, a message like this, especially if you've been in church for a while, you'll hear it, you'll take notes, you'll be like, man, that's good, amen. That's good preaching, Pastor Peggy, amen. And you go do nothing. You go do nothing. You say, why isn't anything happening? Because you're doing nothing. You got to respond to what God is telling you. You got to own up. You got to own up and say, you know what, I'm not spiritually healthy. I'm not spiritually healthy. I got to do what I need to do to get spiritually healthy. Isaiah 55, 1 and 2 out of the New Living Translation says, is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come, take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. He's saying, if you're thirsty, you got to come and drink. If you're like that prodigal, you can lead a horse to water. Amen. We can shove a Bible in your hand. We can put tape series in your hand. We can say, hey, where you been? I haven't seen you in church. We can encourage and we can prod, but nobody can make you drink.
That's right.
Only you can. And then when you're walking around thirsty and parched and you're dehydrated and you don't have any energy and you feel like you're dying and you're saying, what's wrong? Why me? Why me? Because you're not drinking. Nobody can make you do it. The only person responsible for your spiritual health is you. You say, well, I thought you were a pastor. No, I'm not. I'm responsible to feed you. I'm responsible to pray for you. I'm responsible to do all I can do, but I cannot make you drink.
Amen.
Listen, if I could make people drink, if I could make people listen, if I could make people do what God told them to do, there'd be people that are still married today. There'd be people that are still here today. There'd be people that are still alive today. And that's the truth. And that's not me. That's because it's the Word. It's the power of God. Even God can't make you drink. And he says, if you're thirsty, come. Own up. If you're thirsty, say you're thirsty. Own up to it. Quit putting on the show that really, honestly, nobody's watching. Quit putting on the show that you're so spiritual. Nobody's watching that show. Nobody's watching it. We're all too involved in our own show. Amen. Everybody's like, oh, people will see. People, nobody's paying attention. We live in a very self-consumed world. That's just the truth. You got to take care of you. You got to drink. Another thing the Bible says is renew your relationship with God. You ever hear about people, they renew their vows? I never understood that. I thought it was stupid, just to be honest with you. Like, why would you renew them? Did they expire? Are they no good? What happened? You're still married. Why do you renew them? I didn't, you know, when I was young, I'd just be like, I don't get that. But then after I got married, I'm like, I get it. I get it. I totally get it. I totally get it. Because over time, things need to be renewed. You need to remember what got you to that place in the first place. And so when people renew their vows, what are they doing? They're reminding themselves of just how much they love each other. They're reminding themselves of the day they got married. They're reminding themselves of those feelings and those commitments. It's just making a fresh commitment. It's a renewal. And so I get it, because how many, be honest, when you're married, sometimes you forget what you felt like when you stood before somebody on that wedding day. You forget those feelings. And you get other ones. How many know you get other ones? Other ones that when you were newly married and you heard other people have been married a long time, you look at your husband and you'd be like, that will never be us. We'll never be like that. 10 years down the road, you're like, you again? 20 years down the road, you're like, help us, Jesus, right? Not because you don't love each other, it's because life happens. But if you don't renew things, if you don't remind yourself, if you don't daily say and daily commit, I love you, man, you know, the enemy's going to come in and he's going to bring junk. But the same thing is true with your relationship with God. You got to renew that. You got to refresh it. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 55:3, it says, come to me with your ears wide open. Quit acting like you've heard every message and you don't need another one. We need every message. Amen. Whether you've heard it 100 times, you still need it. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing. We are never to stop hearing. But I'll tell you what, I've sat in services too where it's like, man, I've heard this before. This again? I could preach this message myself. And then the Lord just correct me and say, but you need to hear it today. You need to hear it, because every word is a fresh word. Because every word has the word, and the word is always fresh. And if you're listening to messages that don't have the word into them, you're listening to Oprah, and you need to turn that off. Because you can, you know, I don't care if you watch Oprah, but don't act like she's the word. She's got information. She does not have revelation. And information cannot transform us. If information could transform you, you would be transformed. Because we have more information now than we have ever had. Do you ever remember sitting at home? And I know we used to do this all the time. We'd sit at home and somebody'd say, oh, so-and-so was in that movie. And we'd be like, no, it was so-and-so. And they'd be like, no, it was so-and-so. You'd be like, oh, no, it was Tom Cruise. Oh, no, it was, you know, Johnny Depp or whatever. And you'd go back and forth. No, I think it was this person. No, I think it was that person. And you'd argue about it for 10, 15 minutes. You know, you guys maybe don't have that family. I have that family. But now, as soon as somebody says, oh, wait a minute. Here it is. have anything to argue about anymore. We are so informed. You can find out anything. You can find out anything. If information changed you, you'd be changed.
Yeah.
Information does not change us. Revelation transforms us. Amen? And that's the Word. The Word of God. If a message doesn't have the Word, it's just a talk. It's just a talk. You want to talk, we'll talk. But this is a message. And a message has the Word in it.
Amen.
And that's why we need to have ears to hear. Say, how do I renew my relationship? Quit coming to church like you know everything. Quit coming to church just because you're clocking in. Listen, God doesn't have a time clock. Amen. He's got a heart watch. He watches your heart. He doesn't watch your time. And so when he says here, come to me with your ears wide open, listen and you will find life. He says, I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to. Guess who?
David.
You think you got problems? David's son tried to kill him numerous times. David's stepson raped his daughter. Then his son Absalom was so upset at his stepbrother for raping his sister, he killed him. You think you got family drama? And that's just the tip of the iceberg. That's not even talking about Bathsheba, right? You know why David had so many problems? He had so many wives. That's why he had so many problems.
Amen.
That's why those days are over. You can only handle one. But God said, I'll give you everything I promised David. And you know, David, even though all those problems, God moved in his
That's
life.
Right.
He led a nation. He was a great king. He did amazing things for God. And the Bible says he was the apple of God's eye, even with all those problems. And she can say, man, I got all those problems too. You can still be the apple of God's eye.
Right.
You can still have that unfailing love. You can still be raised to life because that's the God we love and serve. He doesn't look at your life and say, oh, man, that is way too messed up for me. He says, I got this.
Yep.
I got this. I took care of David and his crazy family. I can take care of you. Amen?
Amen?
I can take care of you. But we got to renew that relationship with God. We got to come to him with our ears wide open. We got to come to him and say, I'm ready to drink. I'm ready to listen. I'm ready, Lord, because I don't want to feel spiritually dead anymore. I know I heard that message before. I know I closed my heart off to a message about the hurt and pain that's in my life. But, Lord, I'm ready to hear it today. And if I need to hear it tomorrow, I'll listen tomorrow. And if I need to hear it the next day, I'll listen the next day. But I refuse to be spiritually dead another day. I refuse to feel weak another day. I refuse. And then the last thing that we need to do, Isaiah talks to us and he says, seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. We need to not say, okay, I'm going to fix this. Look back and say, hey, what started this? And repent for it. Repent for it. Turn away from it. If you got away from God, repent and turn home. Turn home and take a big old drink. Amen? That's what we say at our house, big O. Do you guys say that? That's really big. A big old drink. I got a Tervis tumbler like this tall. I love that cup. You know, when I go to 2J's and I ask for a to-go cup, sometimes they bring me a cup this big and I'm like, no. That won't do. That won't last. I'll drink that before I leave here. I need a big cup. And those new girls, they say, well, this is the cup we have. I said, no, you go behind the counter up front. And you're going to see a big old styrofoam cup. That is what I want. And if you have any questions, you ask Bill, the manager. Because Bill told me that I could always have this cup. Is that not true, Megan? That's what he told me. He said, if anybody tells you you can't have that cup, you tell them Bill said you could. Because that's what I do. And I walk out of 2J's every morning with a gigantic to-go iced tea. And I take a big old drink of it. That's what you need to do with the life-giving water, the Spirit of God, the living water. When the woman at the well, man, she was trying to fill those holes up and fill that pain up. She was trying to fill it up with men. She had been married 5 times, and the man she was with was not even her husband. She'd been around. What was she trying to do? She was hurt, and she was trying to fill it up with men. You need to ask yourself, what are you trying to fill up hurt with? Busyness? Busyness isn't going to do it. Money? Money ain't going to do it. Jesus said to her, come to me and drink this water, and you'll never thirst again. You will never thirst again. Quit drinking from the wrong spigot and drink from the Spirit of God. Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I know that you kicked my butt this morning to get to church today because this word was for this crowd. I know there are people here today who feel spiritually dead, who feel like they're dying spiritually. And Lord, I pray for every one of us. This is the us message because we're all here at one point or another. I pray for every one of us that we would drink from the river of life. The river of life. How do you get moving again? Respond. You can't just hear this message and do nothing. You got to hear this message and do something. You want something different, you got to do something different. You need to respond. You need to renew. Some of you need to remind yourself what the power of God has done in your life. That it saved you, set you free. Look around at the things you have and all the blessings you have and remember, those came from God. Those came from being in faith. Those came from saying, I will not live the life the enemy's trying to give me. I will live the life that God has for me. We need to look at our blessings and say, those came from God, and run back home. Sometimes we can get so blessed and busy with our blessings, we forget the blessor. Oh, that's so dangerous. So dangerous. Sometimes I want to call people and say, hey, don't forget how you got where you are. You got there because people prayed for you. You got there because you believed God. You got there because you sought God. You got there because you spoke the word. That's how you got where you are. And that's how you'll stay there. Don't forget. Don't forget. Renew. Some of you right now, you need to repent. You need to repent for putting God on the back burner. You need to repent for not having him in your life. You need to repent for getting too busy with blessings, too busy with work, too busy with family, too busy. We can never be too busy for God. Let's renew our relationship. You say, how do I do that? Just say, Lord, I'm back. I repent for that, whatever it is. I'm going to make some changes. And then lastly, what do we need to do? We need to drink. Just right where you are. Just don't move around, but right where you are. If you need to drink this morning, I just want you to raise your hands up. Raising our hands up. I got my hands up because I need to drink this morning too. Just raise your hands up. Say, why am I doing that? Because when you raise your hand, you raise your heart. When you raise your hand, you're surrendering to God. You're saying, Lord, I give. I give. I give. I give all to you. I give all to you, Lord. I surrender my life back to you. I surrender it all. Lord, have your way. Have your way in me. Have your way in me. Lord, I know I've been going my way, doing my thing. But Lord, today, right now, I repent for that. And I surrender my heart back to you. I surrender my heart to you. Lord, I don't want to keep any secrets from you. I don't want to keep anything from you. I want to give it all to you. And I want to drink of the river of life. Oh, thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for every person here. Lord, I thank you that we are all refreshed by your living water. We are refreshed by the Spirit of God. We are refreshed by your presence. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Oh, isn't God good? He's so good. He's so good. Aren't you glad you can always go home to God? Listen, I know we ran a little bit over. You'll be fine. You'll live. Amen. You're going to live. You're going to be all right. We ran 10 minutes over. But that means we got to hurry. We got to hurry now because we got a bunch of kids in classes and we got to do the old switcheroo. So let's receive our offering. Let's do that. I know that message touched some people today. I know it did. I know it by the Spirit of God. I just encourage you. Don't try to do life by yourself. We're supposed to do life together, amen?
That's right.
We're supposed to do life together. All right, let's receive our offering here today. You guys ready?